Welcome to the Mission MilSpouse podcast, dedicated to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of military spouses around the world. Join us as we dive into the unique experiences, challenges, and resilience of those who serve on the home front. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and connected. From deployments to PCS moves, we've got your six. So buckle up, grab your coffee, and let's tackle this mission together. This is Mission MilSpouse. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Mission MilSpouse Podcast. I'm Juliana Hauska, your executive director, and we are here to globally empower military spouses with resources and support. This is show number 1031 of the longest running podcast of its kind, now in our 19th year of broadcasting. On today's episode, I am very excited to be speaking with Erin Mullenbeck on the topic of motherhood, mental health, and being a MilSpouse. Erin comes to us as an active duty Air Force spouse with over 10 years of experience as being a MilSpouse. Before becoming a stay-at-home mom, she was a special education teacher. Erin creates funny and relatable MilSpouse content, but has a strong focus on mental health and the toll that being a MilSpouse and a mom can have. Welcome, Erin. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know we are about to have a ton of fun.
Thank you for having me. I sound so official when you say over 10 years of experience, but it's more like 10 years of trauma. What are you going to do?
It's experience that you can put on your resume, and that's great.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Erin, I want to start off our conversation by learning a little bit more about your journey as a military spouse. If you want to share, you know, about how you met your husband and then your journey as a MilSpouse, and then kind of how that led to your role as, you know, a mom and then an advocate for military spouses and mental health.
Okay, sure. So I met my husband in college. We went to the same university together. We worked in the same residence hall. And he did ROTC. So it wasn't like a situation where some people join after being married in civilian life for a few years. And then, you know, your spouse comes home and does the honey, we need to talk thing. And you're like, well, that's not. I'd rather not. So I knew sort of going into the gate that this was, if I wanted to pursue a relationship with this individual, the military was going to be a huge aspect of that relationship. I did not realize that in many cases, I would be like number two. I would be the other woman in that relationship. I learned that years down the line, however, but it wasn't something that I knew right away. Now, my mental health journey a little bit, I know we're going to talk more about that. I have always had mental health. I got diagnosed with mental health when I was 21. I'm 32 now. So that's kind of always been there. But the unpredictability of this lifestyle, the lack of any sense of stability truly definitely triggers and I would say exemplifies what is already there. It's nothing new. It's just kind of
And it's like my mental health stuff, like I went through years of working on myself and figuring things out before I got married to my spouse. And then you get married and you get into this new lifestyle and everything you learned, you have to just like relearn all over again.
Yep.
And then you become a mom and you have to do it all over again.
All over again. And I mean, I don't know when you got married. I got married at 23, which mind you is not super young for the military spouse community. You have a lot of people getting married at like 18, 19. So I was older when I got married, but it's still very young for our generation. A lot of people don't get married until now, till they're in their early 30s, if they get married at all, if they even want to do that.
Yep.
And in a partnership, in a regular civilian partnership, you are going to do a lot of growing and stretching and learning. And then you add this other dynamic on top of that, where you are dealing with constant separations and constant moves. And you don't have a lot of what you used to hold on to as your identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bomb goes off. And you're just like, what is happening?
It's just a lot of stuff all at once. And I got married at 23 too. So similar situation, but my husband and I were only together for a short, or whatever he was at the time, we're only together for a short period of time before we got married.
Yep.
And he was enlisted before I met him for about 3 years. And so like that whole part of his life, like, had started before we met. And so then I came in and I was like, no idea what's going on. And I don't have like any kind of military background. And then like to throw it into being National Guard, never know what's going on anyway all the time. So it's, you know.
Yeah, you guys deploy more than we do of active duty. You guys deploy all the time. I didn't realize that until I had friends who were guard or reserve. And they're like, oh, my husband's gone again. I'm like, what the heck? He just got home.
I know. It's so like, I literally in my mind, when Tyler and I got married, I was like, oh, no, yeah, they don't do deployments. Like he does his weekend month and his 2 weeks a year. And then our son turned one and he went on his first deployment. And I was like, wait, you're doing what?
Yeah.
And then he comes home a couple weeks ago and he's like, hey, there's a deployment coming up. And I was like, no,
there's not. No, I rebuke it. I will not accept this. I will not accept this narrative. Yeah.
But you know, what's funny is I have decided that for me personally, and like my brain, the deployments are almost easier than the short
TDYs.
Because it's like we got into a routine and like we were able to figure things out. Now, mind you, the first deployment we went through, it was just me and my son. Now it would be me, my son, my daughter, and our three dogs. So I could take that back, but I feel like the longer ones are a little bit easier because you can get to a routine.
I 100% agree with you. And I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what your mental health is or what. I'm officially diagnosed with anxiety. With generalized anxiety disorder and panic. So I get to like cry in a corner and hyperventilate when I'm stressed out, which is super fun for everybody involved, including myself. It's not. But that's my official diagnosis. I'm still kind of working through what it actually is, because this is just what essentially a nurse practitioner who does general care for everybody said, yeah, you're not okay. So we're going to diagnose you with this and get you on some meds. The meds have been great. The meds have truly saved my life in many ways and many times over. And I have no embarrassment or anything about talking about that at all. But when your brain does not work the same as other people's brain, and then you have children whose brains look like your brains and whose also don't deal with change and disruptions to routines and schedules, it is a hot mess.
Yeah.
And it's not fun. It's not fun. And it's not fun for the most mentally stable of us. I don't want to say sane, because truly I feel like those of us that do deal with mental health are the sane ones. Like we are adequately responding to the situation at hand. The rest of y'all are way too chill. Yeah. You guys are way too relaxed now.
Yep, exactly.
But when you throw in not only your own stuff, but now you're dealing with your kids' stuff, it's hard. It's not easy.
No,
it's
not at all.
And there's no training manual for it. There's no training manual. It is truly flying by the seat of your pants and just doing the best you can every day to make sure, like head count, right? So I was a teacher. Are we starting with the same amount of bodies? Are we ending the day with the same amount that we started with? If the answer is yes, you have succeeded for the day.
Yep.
You have succeeded for the day.
Yep. And that's always like my motto as being a mom and a military spouse is, I don't want to say bare minimum, but like we roll bare minimum. Like we just do what we can to survive.
Manage your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge one for me. Like even before we had my son, is I had this expectation of what my life should look like, what it's going to look like.
Yep.
And then it didn't. It didn't look like that at all. And then you get the adjustment disorder thing put in your records when you go for your annual exam with your PCM. And it's like, is it an adjustment disorder or is this lifestyle just insane?
Is this just
crazy? And we have no support system. Our service members have no support system.
Nope.
They don't. And we have even less of a support system when it comes to this. And then if we talk about it or we try to advocate for it, we get shut down or it's our fault. It's an individual fault rather than truly this is an issue with our lifestyle and the system that is set up around our lifestyle that a lot of us struggle to cope with.
Absolutely. One of the comments that I've gotten, I don't get it a lot, but every once in a while I'll get the, well, you knew what you were getting into comment. And it's like, I didn't though. I really didn't. No one told me, like, I didn't have a book that was like step one to being a meal spouse. Like, this is what it's going to look like. No, not at all.
Well, and I equate it to me, like any type of a professional job, you know, you go to school for, you have to get a license, like a police officer, a teacher, a nurse, anything like that. You study and you do the work in class. But then when you get into your placement, when you are in the field and you are learning on the job, that is where it actually happens. Like, you don't know what you signed up for. And then it's the whole, well, you chose to have kids thing that moms get a lot. And it's like, yeah, I did choose to have children. I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. And that doesn't mean that I don't love my kid or I don't love my kids because they're, you know, the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me. And they truly have helped me learn a lot about myself and be a better human.
Yep.
But you don't know what you are getting into until you are there. And you need people and supports to say, hey, it's okay.
Yep.
I see you crying in the corner. That's fine.
Yep.
Is it a bottle of wine at 2 p.m. day? I'm not saying that that's healthy, but it happens.
Yep, like, exactly.
It's and okay.
Yeah. It's okay to not be okay. And like, one of the things that I always stress too is as a military spouse, like people will be like, oh, I don't know how you do that. And you're so strong. Well, you don't have to be. Like,
I'm not though. I'm not strong. I break down like a lemon all the time. I mean, the wheels are falling off. I don't know the last time I had an oil change. I don't. It's like, we're not though. We know that if we don't do it, everything else falls. It's dominoes.
Exactly.
We have to step up and do it.
Yep.
And it's easier said than done. And sometimes the consequence of stepping up and doing it is saying, oh my gosh, something is not right here and I need help.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I need some help.
Yep. And I feel like sometimes that's really hard for us too, because it's hard to ask for help, but it's hard to state that you need help, especially when you are in a situation as a military spouse where maybe you don't have people around you that you can go to and ask for help, you know, like, you don't, and that's one of the biggest things that I love about like the male spouse community coming from my side is I feel like I have more people that I can go to that I can relate to. Like, you're the first best friend I've ever had that I'm like, she totally understands what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get it. And I can tell you something and you're like, oh yeah, dude, I've been there, done that. It's terrible, awful.
Yep.
Versus
the punch card, frequent flyer, baby.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. So it's the best part. But do you feel like so for me personally, I had been diagnosed with depression and anxiety from the time I was a teenager up until after I had my daughter. So my daughter's two, so about 2 years ago. And then I started seeing a psychiatrist and he was like, I don't think you have anxiety. I think you have ADHD. And I was like,
yeah, I'm going through that whole process right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, wait a minute, what? So there was this whole time that I thought one thing was happening and it was not that. And it was something completely different. But do you feel like anything about you changed after, obviously you change after becoming a mom, but like, tell me more about that.
I think a lot of it too is you know, the patterns that you can fall into when you don't have kids. So when my husband would go TDY and he would be gone before we had my son, I could go do my job, my 9 to 5. I would go to my classroom. I would teach. I could come home on the weekend and hermit under a rock for the whole weekend and not do anything. Not shower, not like take care of the dog, like feed the dog and the cat, basic, like bare minimum, but the house would be trash. There'd be dishes everywhere. Nobody's vacuumed. There's laundries piled up everywhere. You could do that more until you bring another little human into it. And I think for me, part of bringing the other human into it made me realize I can't keep doing some of the things that I'm doing because it's not fair to him.
Yep.
It is not fair to him. Mom cannot just go shut down every single time dad leaves. Mm-hmm. Every single time there is a disruption or a change or the honey, we need to talk thing when they call you and they're driving home from work. Why do they do that? Like, it just, I have anxiety. You cannot call me and say, we need to talk when I get home. No, we are talking right now.
Now you have to tell me what we're going to talk about, because
now you need to pull over. Like, hold on. Exactly. But I think when you have kids, you start to see, for, you know, for better or for worse, I think for me, it was for better to see some of the patterns that I was falling into because of my mental health that made me decide I can't keep doing this, and we need to change, and we need to make a concerted effort to change. And, you know, for me, I've been on medication. I've been on medication for years, but some of it was the lifestyle change. Like, I need to get out of the house. I can't just sit in this house. I need to go for a walk. Yep. It's good for him and it's good for me too. I need to start taking care of me. I can't just down a bottle of wine after I had a tough day teaching and then feel miserable the next day, you know?
Exactly.
So, and I don't think that it's something you can tell somebody to do. You can't.
Nope.
And even as a friend, I mean, you can have your best bestie, even if they're close, they're long distance, whether they're another military spouse or a civilian friend, you can't have that conversation with them and they say something and the switch flips. The switch has to come from you. The mm-hmm. switch has to flip with you. You have to make a concerted effort and decision to say, enough is enough. I am done. And I am no longer going to let this lifestyle force me into a victim mentality.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And I think that is so hard. And I am not saying that that's easy. And it's something I grapple with every single day, because every single day it's like, if I would have done this, or I should be doing this, mm-hmm. or blah, 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 blah. You know, I need to clean out my kid's drawer because he's got pants that don't fit him anymore. And there's a trash bag hanging on my door right now, like with things that I'm trying to go through. But like I was saying, if you continue to spiral like that, nothing changes if you don't. And I know that that's such a cliche, but it's so true that nothing changes if you don't.
I wasn't able to start making better changes for myself until I started taking medication. Like that was the first step. There were so many times that like, I'd be like, okay, like I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to help me get to the place that I need to be, but I couldn't. And then when I finally started
because doing that, because you can't. Yeah.
Mm-mm. And it's so important.
And that's why I tell people, like, I actually had a conversation with one of the girls who follows me in my DMs like a week ago, because I shared, I think it was longer than, it was longer than a week ago, but I had shared my pill bottle and basically saying, like, this is not a bad thing and this is okay. And it doesn't have to be a forever thing, but it is a for right now thing so that I am here and I am present and I am not just going through the motions. So I can actually be the wife and the mom and the human and the friend that I need to be for people. Yep. And she messaged me and she was like, nobody ever talks about this. Like nobody talks about this. And you know, as I tell people, medication is not the only answer. It's not the only answer. And I know a lot of people who, for whatever reason, don't want to take medication, can't take medication because they're super sensitive to medications and the side effects from it are just too much to deal with. Right. And I get that and I understand that, but you really need to, if you feel like something's not right, advocate for yourself. Talk to your doctor, talk to your PCM. If you feel like you're not getting somewhere with your PCM, ask for a referral, fight for that referral.
Yep.
Because you have to, if you feel like something's not right, then something's not right. What that something is, I'm not a doctor, but you have to take that first step to advocate for something better for your life.
Absolutely. Do you feel like you have been able to, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this in the best way, but do you feel like as a military spouse, you've been able to find resources to help you with stuff, or has that been challenging?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. I mean, it's already on my record. It was on my record going into the, game that like, this is here. So I've never had a problem with them refilling my meds. We've kind of changed my dosage here and there, bumped it around. I think the harder thing, especially being a military spouse, is getting those non-medical interventions, is getting things like therapy. Mm-hmm. And getting access to that, because like the issue that we've run into lately is we just moved here in June 2023. We're moving in June 2024.
Yay.
And then we will most likely be moving again in June 2025. We knew this was happening. We knew, but you know, you never know until you know. And even if you have those hard orders in hand, they can still say, just kidding. Nope. So we've had some lapse in services. I've had therapy in the past. I'm not currently in therapy right now. The wait lists are 3 to 6 mm-hmm. months.
Yep.
And then by the time you get in and you see somebody for a couple of appointments, you're moving again. So some of it is like, why do I want to try to build a relationship with this person when I know that I'm going to have to move again? And the relationship piece is so important for therapy. You have to be able to really trust that person and to be able to disclose to that person. Our family, my son has been through OT before, so not like play therapy. We're working on that. But I have personally been through therapy myself individually. My husband has been through therapy himself individually. It's such a huge benefit, but it is very hard to get access to. And the thing that sucks too is a lot of people don't accept TRICARE.
Right.
And so you have to find people who will accept your insurance. Now, some people have the luxury of, their, you know, they don't have to worry about TRICARE. They're on another private insurance. So that definitely opens up more options.
Yes.
But getting that initial appointment set up is so difficult. And then you have to call and you have to call and you have to email. And it's like, by the time I've emailed 10 different people, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm tapped.
Right.
My executive functioning skills for the day are now done.
Yeah. Like it's yeah. And like with therapy for me, sometimes it takes you a while to find the right person.
Yeah.
It doesn't just like you go through it once and you find the best therapist ever.
It's not how it works. It's like dating. It is truly like dating. And I hate dating. That's why I'm married. I never want to do it again. My husband already knows. If anything ever happens to you, it's 27 cats in a hut down by the river in the woods. Okay. That's what's happening. But it is. It's so much a relationship building with a therapist. But then when you have to move, and you also have to be conscious that certain strategies might not work for you. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a mental health professional by any means, but there's various modalities of therapy. There's talk therapy. There's art therapy. There's DBT. There's what's an EMDR thing with eyes. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, there's all different kinds of, and what one person specializes and practices in might not be the best fit for you. And that's okay. But again, it takes so much time. And one of the things that we don't have in this lifestyle is time. We don't, because it changes so often and so rapidly. So that can be I have found that to be very tricky for us in our situation. And I think that's felt across the board.
I would agree. I completely agree. It's very tricky. And learning how to navigate TRICARE overall is tricky. You know,
that's another discussion all of its own.
That's another podcast for another day.
That's another day. Tune in next time where we talk about navigating TRICARE.
Yeah, it's been interesting. That's been one of the harder parts. But I'm going to go off script a little bit here, because I do have a question that, if you're comfortable answering, how do you manage your mental health while also helping your husband and his mental health? Is that tricky?
I mean, it's a really hard question, because the answer to that question probably it's not clear cut and dry. I can't tell you like, oh, we've done these 5 steps and everything is great and sunshine and roses, because that's just not true. Mm-hmm. Every day is tough. Every day is a struggle. Some days are better than others. This assignment for us has been a lot better. The culture of this base, we're at Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson. The culture of this base has been a lot better. And that's due to, you know, the leadership and the senior NCOs that my husband has the pleasure to work with here. That has helped a lot, because that culture, the is very family focused. Like my husband has been able to take time off to go to my son's like little school functions where he really hadn't been able to do that in the past. So that's been very helpful. But as far as us managing it, I think just us being very open and honest with each other and being able to communicate with each other and be like, what is happening? Because something is not okay. And vice versa. Like he can call me out on my stuff and I can call him out on his stuff. Does that mean it's always going to be pretty? No. But being able to have that open line of communication and realizing that at the end of the day, each other is not the enemy. We're not the enemy here. Yes. We are same team. We are same team. And we may have different methods and we may have different responses to things or certain things that to your partner, your spouse, your boyfriend, whatever, about that, I think is huge. And then realizing that truly at the end of the day, the only person who you can change is yourself.
Yeah.
You're not going to change your spouse.
Nope.
You're not. If they're going to come home and binge watch Netflix for 4 hours, you don't have to like it, but they have to make the choice to do that for themselves. And you can say, hey, it makes me uncomfortable when you do X, Y, Z. But then you have to understand that they can do that to you as well.
Yep.
That they can come back and say, hey, it makes me uncomfortable when you do X, Y, Z. Yep. I think it would really help you if you did this, you know? So you have to be able to have that. That's why I think it's just so, if you are feeling, again, like you are struggling and something is not right, take the initial step to talk to your, I don't care if it's your chiropractor, if it's your neighbor, talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm struggling. Because somebody somewhere can help you find the resources that you need.
So. And I feel like sometimes saying it out loud is the first step. Sometimes saying it is like, that's what makes it real. And that's when you're like, oh.
Recognize the elephant in the room.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room because we both see it. But let's actually talk about it. And I think that is part of the reason, not to like go off on a tangent, but we hear so much about marriage in the military and divorce rates and infidelity and all that. And it's a very individual thing. And yes, of course, we see it a lot more and it's talked about a lot more. But at the end of the day, if you guys don't have communication with each other and you're not openly talking to each other, it's not always going to end with like a bang and like, you know, you're divorced and lonely, but like you could be miserable if you're not talking to each other.
Exactly. Communication. It's first and very important, but it's tricky overall. It's so much fun. We're all having a blast.
We're all having such a blast over here.
So much fun, but.
So much fun.
All right. Well, we are going to pause for a short break with a message from Mission Mill Spouse, and then we will jump right back into our conversation about motherhood, mental health, and being a military spouse.
Here at Mission Mill Spouse, military spouses are the priority. With nearly 3,000 blog posts and over 1,000 podcast episodes in our archives, we have the resources and support to empower your military spouse journey, no matter your stage, season, or duty station. To support our mission and other military spouses like you, follow us across all social media platforms at Mission Mill Spouse, subscribe to our newsletter, The SITREP, or consider making a tax-deductible donation. We are also all volunteer-powered, so you're invited to join our band of bloggers or our command team. Email hello@missionmillspouse.org for more information. Remember, we've been there, you aren't alone, we've got your six.
This is Juliana Hauska, and I'm here with Erin Mullenbeck. Today, we are talking about all things motherhood, mental health, and also being a military spouse. Erin, I'm curious, can you shed some light for me on stigmas or misconceptions that you've encountered in regards to mental health as a mill spouse or in the military spouse community?
I don't know if I've really experienced stigmas so much so like around my mental health. It's just definitely more been being a spouse. I think that we have one narrative of what it means to be a military spouse, and it's all those stupid dependa memes that you see and get thrown around. And yeah, tee hee ha ha, funny, but it's also extremely damaging. It's also very annoying because you are getting that from one very specific subset of the culture when that's not representative of the culture at large. So I think when a military spouse talks about anything they have trouble with, anything at all, even opens their mouth and says, hello, my husband's in the Air Force, or my husband's in the Army, or my wife's in the Marines, it immediately it's like, Dependo! Like, so that's the stigma I think that I deal with the most, is just that. And that doesn't even start wrapping into the mental health issues of it, because there's a lot, not even just mental health, but there is a lot of issues that we deal with. Like we were talking about navigating TRICARE, deployments, TDYs. I think you start talking about any of it, and again, it's that whole, you know what you signed up for. Why are you complaining? And it just, you get shut down. And that's absolutely the worst possible thing that could happen, is because when you are dealing with mental health, you need somebody to say, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I know you don't feel like it's okay. I promise you one day it will be okay, but let's figure out what you need right now to get through the day. But as a military spouse, you say anything and it's just no.
Yep.
Stop complaining.
Yep.
It just completely, you know, just shuts it down. And I think that's just the biggest stigma that I've dealt with, is feeling like as a spouse, if I voice any opinion at all, it can and will be used in a court of law against you. Like, you know,
yeah, like, no, it's another
brutal
thing that, yeah. And I feel that a lot too with me, like National Guard wise, like that's something I've always struggled with too, because there are some things I don't relate to other military spouses on, but like I'll sit there and listen and be like, whoa, that sounds really hard. I've never had a PCS. Like we've lived in the same place. We're at the same base. It's not, that doesn't change for us. But then on the other side of that, I sometimes feel like as a National Guard spouse, where I'm kind of like the redheaded stepchild that's like, you don't really know what we're going through. And it's like, I kind of do a little bit. I mean, like I know that there's some things I probably don't know, but like, we're all in this together. Like we're all in it together.
And that's, you know, that's the thing, is everybody's experience is so different and it's so unique. And even though, yes, I struggle and it's hard for me, doesn't mean that Susie Q down the street isn't like blissfully prancing around with a basket of wildflowers outside her front yard, because things affect people different ways, but we need to be able to be open with each other and just have like empathy for the fact that what this individual is dealing with is hard for them. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that, like, there's some people who love TDYs and they're like, they love it. And I used to be more okay with TDYs. Now, again, that I have my son, it's just so much more of a disruption. Like, can you just be gone for like 3 months? As horrible as that sounds, can you be gone longer so that you're not coming in and out and it's like a revolving door of your presence and it's just completely disrupting the entire ecosystem of the house?
Yes. No,
that's hard too.
Completely agree. Yeah. It makes it's so hard. You get into a routine, and then especially, you know, kind of circling back on like you and your mental health and how you need to do things to take care of yourself. You get yourself into a routine, you get your child into a routine, and then it all goes when they come
pretty
home.
Much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. But, so we kind of just talked about this a little bit, and this is a very loaded question, but how do you feel deployments or frequent relocations affect you and your mental health as a mom, as a military spouse?
Well, yeah, it is a loaded question. Thanks for that. No. Thanks for that.
I was like, I'm going to write this one and I already know the answer, but let's talk about it.
I'm going to shoot from the hip. I think they both suck tremendously. I think they're horrible. However, I think that there are, and I don't want to say pros, because I don't think it's ever a good thing having your partner away. Like that is never a fun thing to deal with. But the benefit of the deployment is it is longer. And so therefore, you're more able to get into a routine with yourself and with your family. There's also a lot more resources for spouses when their service member is deployed. I know when my husband was deployed, they did, I think it was twice a month. It was once a month or twice a month. They would do a dinner and a meal, and they would, you would go, and it was like buffet style. It was completely catered. You didn't pay anything. You went, you got a hot meal that you didn't have to make. There was bouncy houses set up for the kids. One time they had like a fire truck. So they do a lot of events. I know here for one of the things for the deployed spouses program is they come, because we live in Alaska, they come shovel your driveway, your sidewalk. Yes. You don't deal with that. They will even do, they will, and this is, I think this is more like our privatized military housing here and not necessarily the base.
Yeah.
So it is going to vary from base to post and et cetera. But you hear one of the things they do for deployed spouses is they'll come do like routine maintenance things. They will come change light bulbs for you. They will come do like the basic things where it's like, I could do this if I had an extra set of hands, especially when you have little kids at home that aren't in school or aren't in any type of childcare.
Yep.
I mean, the whole reason I put my kid in childcare, my son has been in childcare, some form of childcare, since he was 1 year old. The whole reason I did that is my husband deployed. And I was like, I need a minute. I need to be able to mow my lawn.
Yes.
Because we lived off base and I didn't have anybody to come mow my lawn. So, I mean, the good thing is there are places, but again, if you live off base or you live off post, you may not necessarily have that. I certainly didn't have that.
Nope.
So I would put my son in the pack and play. Well, I would go mow the lawn and he'd probably be screaming his head off because he wanted something. I'm like, too bad. Gotta get the grass done.
Gotta
do it.
Yeah. That was actually something funny when my husband deployed. That was, we didn't really think about that. And I was like, oh no. And so I called my
brother-in-law. Who's going to do all this stuff?
Like, I was like, dude, you got to come mow my lawn every week. And he was like, and mind you, he's got four kids of his own. I'm like, sorry, you got to come mow my lawn. And I had a light bulb and a really tall light fixture that was really high up. And I called my father-in-law and I was like, can you ring a ladder and change my light bulb?
Because what happens for you when you fall off the ladder and you're home alone and you've got a 3-month-old and a 4-year-old screaming bloody murder because mom just fell off of the ladder and we don't know what to do?
Yep, exactly.
Again,
what do you do?
Is that catastrophizing? Maybe. Thank you to my anxiety disorder. But this is a real thought that goes through your head is what is going to happen.
Yep.
So in that way, I think that deployments are a little bit easier because they're longer, you have a more stable routine, and you do get some support. But at least with the deployment that we went through as our family, is my husband was in active combat. He was in an active combat situation. And I remember getting a call, not to go like too much into the story, but I remember getting a call from him at like 11 a.m. my time. And all it said was, it was a voicemail, and it was, honey, I love you. And then he hung up.
Oh my God.
And I spiraled. Like, and I didn't hear from him for 36 hours. I started hearing about what was going on the news before I heard from him. I didn't know if he was alive. I didn't know if he was safe. I knew nothing. And I'm sitting there with a screaming 9-month-old. Well, no, he was 13 months at that time.
Yep. And so, like, who do you talk to about that?
No, right. Who do you talk? You can't. I can't call my mom. She doesn't know what that's like.
No, like, and you
can't. And I don't want her to worry because I'm already stressed out. And it's like, I don't want to put this burden on you. And then you're getting the whole, did you see the news? Did you see the news? I'm like, I don't want to talk about. Yes, I did see the news. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Because
when Tyler deployed, I was like, we're not doing news. And I don't even do the news now. I mean, like, I do stuff, like, I see stuff and I try to keep updated, but I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I don't want to hear about it. And
no,
especially when they're gone. And it's funny because I have the opposite situation. It's not funny, but with Tyler,
what? We have to laugh about it though. Yeah. Because if we don't laugh, we cry.
It's
so
funny.
We gotta laugh.
It was
it's
not
funny,
funny
in retrospect. Yeah.
But when he was deployed, he works on helicopters. So his situation to be in danger is not, you know, not super likely, but like he was still in Afghanistan, you know, there's things happen. And he never told me anything. Everything was always hunky-dory. And then he comes home and he starts talking about all these things that happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, I thought you were fine.
What did it come out like 3 months later is they come home and it's after reintegration. You get through the reintegration period. And you're like, oh my gosh, everything's fine. And then they're like, actually, and you're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yep.
You've been holding this in for how long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something we really struggled with was reintegration and
Yeah.
My mental health, but more so my husband's mental health when he came back from his deployment, because before he hadn't really dealt with, not dealt with, but he hadn't really like worked through his mental health.
Yeah.
And then he went,
it was more manageable probably.
Exactly. And then he came home and everything was different.
Switch flipped. Yep.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, and I didn't know how to help him because I'm dealing with my own stuff. And yeah it was hard. It was super hard. And so that would be where I'd say, you know, even though deployments and the longer stuff is easier in the time being, coming home,
the outcome of it is a lot harder.
Yes.
And it's not like that for every deployment. And so for like anybody who listens to this, who's never dealt with a deployment and is now like panicking, just so you know, they're not all like that, but they can be. And it is not uncommon to have that experience. And truly for me, I think I struggle more with TDYs because they annoy me. This is not representative of every single TDY, because I know I had commented on one of another male spouse creator on Instagram had made a reel. It was like one of those meme reels about basically TDYs being glorified boys trips and how you're trying not to get annoyed, even though you know it's essentially a glorified boys trip. And I commented on that reel because I was like, no, it is. Like, don't let them gaslight you, because my husband's out playing golf at 3 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon. I am cleaning up my second bucket of puke. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, no, I am bitter and resentful right now. Yeah, I am a little annoyed. But then there were so many service members, and because that reel of hers went pretty viral. And there were so many service members that were like, you don't know what you're talking about and blah, blah, blah. And I was in the desert. And so I just want to caveat with not every TDY is a glorified boys trip. In my experience, being married to my husband, who is an officer in the Air Force, they are absolutely boys trips.
My boss is always asking me, he like wants to know more about being a military spouse. And like, I'll be like, oh yeah, Tyler was gone this weekend and the kids were sick and the dog was sick. And he's like, oh, and he's
Murphy's
like,
Law.
Tyler was working all weekend. And I was like, Tyler was playing volleyball. So no.
Tyler was out riding the beer pedal cart thing around downtown San Antonio, Texas. So I don't know what he was working.
Yep. Yeah. He very carefully now when he tells me like stuff that goes on during like drill weekend or annual trainings, he's like, yeah, we did this. And we did this. And then we did go out one night. And I'm like, sounds great.
I'm so much better about it now than I used to be. I used to be so mad about it. And I think now, especially that I've gotten, I don't know if it's just getting older or dealing with a multitude of TDYs all the time. I get annoyed because it just puts so much added pressure on me. But I also like validate and recognize and understand that like they deserve to have fun experiences too, because truly that is one of the best things about military life is being able to get the experiences that a lot of people will never get.
Yes.
That
I
is
completely
the
agree.
Best part. So in sum, to like circle it all the way back, deployments are hard on my mental health because I worry about my husband's safety. TDYs are hard on my mental health because I personally am dealing with my own crap about being jealous and resentful and upset that I'm dealing with everything on my own.
Yes.
You know, because like when they're deployed, it's like I'm dealing with everything on my own, but at least I'm not being shot at. And then TDY, you're like, I'm dealing with everything on my own and I wish I could go golf.
Yes,
I wish I could go and do a round of nine. Yeah.
And that's something too. Like I, when Tyler was deployed, that comment of like, oh, you're so strong. I could never do that. I don't know how you do it. That must be so hard. And then one day I finally sat back and I was like, but Tyler's in a different country away from his son for an entire year. So it's also hard for him.
Hard on him.
Yep. We tried really hard. And it's something we still work on to this day after, I mean, we've been married for almost 8 years we try not to do the tit for tat thing of like,
yes,
you went and did this all weekend. Mm-mm. No,
it is a losing game. The moment you engage in it.
Yep.
It does not work. It's all hard. Everything is hard. It's all hard, and it's all hard in different ways. And we're not keeping scores. We can't do that.
Exactly.
It's not good for anybody. It's not good for you. And I don't know if you've experienced this with your kids getting older, but my son notices the absence of his father so much more now. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I can regulate myself with this absence. Is it triggering? Yeah, it's triggering because I already know the dishwasher is about to set on fire. Like, I know that that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, but this little tiny human doesn't totally understand and is not in the same position to be able to deal with that. And that, I think, again, makes it so much harder on you as the spouse who is home, because you're dealing with everybody's emotions.
Yes, 100%. And that's, I'm terrified for our next deployment because my son's now at the age where even drill weekends, he's like, dad's not coming home. And like being able to explain that to him and him being able to comprehend it and, you know, grasp it, it's hard. It's just,
it is hard.
Yeah. As a woman, we talk about like self-care and all the things about like taking care of yourself.
Yes.
What is your number one self-care?
Oof.
Or it doesn't even have to be number one. It can just be, what kind of self-care techniques do you have that have worked for you as a military spouse?
I think first I want to say that self-care is not basic hygiene, okay? As a mom, we get, and it's funny, and I laugh at it too, tee hee ha ha. Oh, I got to take a shower alone today. I was just joking to you about it before we started recording this podcast about how the only reason I have makeup and my hair is done is because my son is at preschool today, right? It's a funny joke. But you being able to shower, you being able to brush your teeth, you being able to put on a clean pair of underwear, because true fact, I've had to go to Walmart and Target and buy underwear because I did not have clean underwear. And I don't care how that makes me sound, but it happens. And if you don't think that it won't happen to you, you it call happens. Me in 5 years. It happens.
Yep,
happens it happens. The son has clean underwear. The husband has clean underwear. If the dog had underwear, he would have clean underwear. But I sure don't. But I sure do
Erin
not.
Erin has none.
None. She is commando, and it's nothing. It is something that no one asked for. Nobody asked for that. But I just want to say that is that you take doing basic hygiene, brushing your hair, brushing your teeth, splashing a little bit of water on your face, putting on clean clothes. I don't care. I don't care if they have a stain on them. I don't care if they're not cute and that's not like a little, you know, Pinterest outfit. That is something you need to do because you are a human and you deserve to take care of you. So I just want to put that out there, number one.
Yes, absolutely.
As far as self-care, things I do for me, I'm getting better about it. I was not always good at it. I was the stereotypical martyr of a mom who I would not take. I look like Adam Sandler at drop off, but my son has a perfectly curated outfit. His hair is styled. There's gel in his hair. He looks great. I look like the thing you pulled out of the shower drain, you know? But one of the things that I do for me is I have gotten really into hobbies. So I will find things that I can do that distract me, that have nothing to do with military life, that have nothing to do. And social media is not a hobby. Okay. I'm on there and I love it, but that's not a hobby. Please turn it off. Turn it off. So I have a little cat. I made this coaster. It's a cat. Isn't that cute?
So cute.
So, but like finding something like that, like I like houseplants. I enjoy taking care of my houseplants. I gardened when we weren't in Alaska, but I had a vegetable garden in our backyard. Something that you can do that's just for you. That is just for you. One of the things I do is I love to get my nails done. That may not be accessible for every family, but it's a priority for me. Budget meetings or whatever. It sounds really serious, but it's not that serious. It's like, listen, I am going, like, there needs to be money for me to get my nails done. There needs to be money for my Pure Bar membership because I love going to Pure Bar.
Yep.
Because I can turn my brain off for 50 minutes and focusing on not dying in a 90-second plank.
Yep.
But I think anything that gets you outside, that moves your body, that makes you feel good in your body, and that allows you to do something that has nothing to do with being a military wife and nothing to do with your child is so, so important.
Yes.
It's so important.
I completely agree. It's finding that, you know, that one thing that's your thing that's not also being a mom or also being a wife. And it's hard. But I like your little cat. Was it crocheting?
I crocheted a cat poster.
I love it so much. It's so amazing. I got really into, I very heavily got into friendship bracelets. That was my thing. And stuck with it. And I was like, this is great. Cause it's, and my mom always asked me, she's like, why is that your thing? I'm like, well, because it's the one thing I can sit down. It keeps my hands busy, so I can't be on my phone and doom scrolling, you know. And then your hands
are
busy.
That is so important. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Occupy
and then
your hands.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you have something to do. And you know, and it's like find people to make them for. Make them for yourself. Make them for your kids. I don't know. Make them for anybody. But finding something that keeps your hands active and, you know, the kids are in bed. I always have something, probably like a movie or a TV show playing in the background, but I'm just sitting there focusing and it's very calming and But.
And doing the dishes is not that thing. Okay.
No.
That is not the thing. The dishes need to get done at some point in time, but that is not, if you're like self-care, I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to fold laundry. No, that is not self-care. That is caring for literally everybody but you. Go to Target and buy the pack of underwear, okay? Yeah. Next.
True story, when Tyler was deployed, every Friday night would mop the floors and clean. And my mom was like, why do you do that? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's just like self-care. Like, I'm mopping the floors. I put music on and have fun. She was like, no, that's just, you're just doing like grown-up stuff. That's not
self-care. You're just like trying to make the task that's terrible easier, which we love that for you. But like, that's not taking care of you.
No, she's like, yeah, no, you're not. That's not actually fun. I was like, oh, you're probably right about that one. So final serious question before we get into our fun lightning round questions. Do you have any advice for military spouses, specifically military spouses with young children that are struggling with mental health, what they can do, resources, anything like that?
So again, we have talked about before, if you feel like something is wrong and if you feel like something is just not, and not even necessarily wrong and like, there's something wrong with me. But if you're like, I'm just not like, it just, I'm not happy and I am feeling very overwhelmed, please talk to somebody. You can trauma dump on me anytime, but seriously, find somebody to talk to. I strongly encourage everybody to just start by talking to their PCM, set up an appointment, call TRICARE. Sometimes you can do it online. Sometimes it doesn't let you do it online. MHS, Health, Genesis, whatever is a pain in the butt. Be sure to just start there.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody you trust. Say, hey, this is what's going on. Go talk to your doctor and then follow next steps. One of the things that really helped me when I had my son initially was I got involved with, I don't know if you've ever heard of MOPS,
the organization,
Mothers of Preschoolers. They also have a Moms Next, which is for like when your kids are school age now.
Okay.
It is faith-based. So I just want to put that out there that if that's not your vibe, that's totally cool. I even sometimes was like, okay, we're getting a little too heavy on the Jesus. All right. Love him, but like a little much. Okay.
Dial it back.
Let's bring it back. But I got very involved with a MOPS organization. And there was actually a ton of military spouses that attended. So it was a mix of civilian, but also, I mean, we're civilian, but you know what I'm saying. People who aren't affiliated with the military and then also military spouses. And just finding something, if maybe it's not a MOPS organization, but maybe your neighborhood does a bunco night. We did that kind of in the summer. It's kind of fallen off since the wayside in the winter. But like find some type of group that you can plug into and connect with. Pretty much every single base and post does a spouses club of some sort. I personally will not touch a spouses club with a 10-foot pole. That is just me, and that is no shade to a spouses club. I just need something that isn't military. I need a break from that.
Absolutely.
Even though I make content for military spouses, I still need a break from it.
It can't be everything you're talking about all the time.
Mm-mm.
Yep, mm-mm. I completely agree.
And there's a lot of people, I mean, homeschool, I don't homeschool. I will if I need to, but there's a lot of people who homeschool. So if you homeschool, there's lots of different groups that you can plug into and find people who have kids that are around your age that you can, because it is different. It is so different talking to a military spouse who doesn't have any children Mm-hmm. Being somebody who does have, not that we can't relate on certain issues, but they're not going to understand what it's like when your spouse is deployed and it's 3 a.m. and your son has a fever of 103.6 and you're like, what do I do? Yep. Do we need to go to the ER right now? Like, he's hacking up a lung. So you need to find people who have been in that type of situation. So plug into those organizations. I'm going to be totally honest. I'm not the best person for saying name dropping organizations. You can always ask your spouse, like, hey, can you get me in touch with you guys as Squadron First Shirt so I can figure out like what resources are available to me? Most bases and posts have a key spouse. The effectiveness and the, what's the word that I want? They can, again, the quality of those can vary from individual to individual, but see what's available. Find somebody that you click with that is around your area who can maybe kind of point you, give you like a little North Star direction for where you need to go. But seriously, at the end of the day, just taking the step and recognizing that something needs to change with me is amazing. Yeah. And is really where you need to start. Everything else can come later.
Yep.
Everything else can come later. Just start by taking a beat, taking a breath and saying, okay, I'm going to need some help here.
Yep. And biggest thing, I think you'll agree with me on this one too, is that you won't have healthy kids unless you're a healthy mom.
Mm-mm.
And that's just
facts.
Bottom line. Like, bottom unless line. You are healthy, your mm-hmm. kids won't be healthy. You've got to take care of you to also take care of them.
And your kids deserve to have a healthy parent. Yep. They deserve to have a healthy parent. And that doesn't even just mean a healthy parent. I go on my 20-minute neighborhood walk a day. I'm talking about health holistically, all the way around, top to bottom, inside out.
Yep.
You have got to do some of that work because your kids deserve it and you deserve it and your spouse deserves it.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Well, thank you so much. I have really enjoyed this conversation and I know that it's hard and we were joking at the beginning of our interview about how hard it was to get on each other's schedule because I had some kids and like, it's just very accurate to, you know, our lifestyle. And I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me. And so far,
I appreciate you talking to me and getting this to work out. It was fun.
Yeah. I knew we would have fun together. I was like, this is going to be good. But I do have one little last section of lightning round questions. And these are just for fun, just to like, I don't know. I feel like lighten the mood, have fun, get to know you a little bit better.
There's is this like a pass fail thing? If I answer it, is it participation points? Like, what's the vibe here?
You just got to tell me, you just got to say, well, and I did, normally I do it as like a pick one or pick the other option, but I kind of did it a little bit different this time. So I'll read you the question and then you just give me a quick answer and we'll be good to go.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So number one is chicken or beef?
Chicken.
Chicken. Number two, would you rather be invisible or be able to read minds?
Oh God. Oh, that's terrible. My initial thought is to read minds, but I feel like I would want to shut that down. Can I have a filth? Is there a pause button on it? Or is it like I have to walk in a Costco and I hear everything everybody's thinking all the time?
That would be the most overstimulating situation ever. Yeah. No, I know you don't get to pause it. No. Nope.
Okay. Well, all right. It's my initial response. So I'll just go with read minds, but I'm going to regret it later.
But number three, fill in the blank. Taylor Swift is a blank.
An icon, a legend. She is the moment. I do not tolerate any Taylor Swift slander.
I love you.
Yes.
I knew. I put that question. I was like, "Ooh, this is going to be it. This is going to be the tiebreaker."
Oh my God, my hyperfixation was like her and Travis Kelce's relationship. Oh my God.
It's the best. It's fantastic. The best. It's the best. Only thing keeping me afloat right now. It's
truly
fine.
It is the crux of my mental health at this point.
Or number four, cake or pie?
Oh, that's so tough.
Mm-hmm. The next one's going to be even tougher though, so don't worry.
I'm going to go cake.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's rude.
Yeah, I know. This one, number five, dogs or cats?
No, I'm not choosing.
I was like, that's going to be a tough one.
I can't pick. I got one of each and I love them both.
They're the best. They're the best they for are. Different reasons. Like
they just, are.
Yeah, yes. They're the best. But yes. All right, number six, mountains or beach?
Mountains. I would have said beach, but no. Being in Alaska, just these mountains are something else. You go anywhere else. Imagine. And I went down to the lower 48, like a true Alaskan. Went down to the lower 48 for spring break. And I was like, where are the mountains?
Yeah.
Where are they? I don't like it.
Number seven, who is your celebrity crush?
Oh, Henry Cavill.
Ooh, yes. That's a good one.
Oh, and Pedro Pascal.
Oh,
Daddy.
We're twins.
Daddy.
We have found each other's soul in another person. I'm obsessed with him.
Obsessed.
He seems like a genuinely fantastic person too. Like
he just seems like an all around good human.
Yes, I completely
like somebody
agree.
You could just hang. You know, you could do a puzzle on your kitchen table and just have the best time.
Yep, and he would just be so wholesome and
yes.
Yep. Yeah,
I love
completely
him.
Agree.
I watched The Last of Us. I don't know if you watched that. It's a hard one.
Yes.
But I watched it for Pedro.
Yeah. That's why we started watching it. And you know what's funny? We got to episode, 3 or 4, where they do the story with Nick Offerman.
Nope.
Got to that one.
I cried.
I know. I cried. It was the most amazing episode of a show. And then I was like, I think I need to take a little bit of a break for a little bit. Because it was emotionally damaging.
It just gut punch every single time. I mean, it was fantastic. I don't know if you're into video games, but I play video games. It's a secret of mine. But I did not play The Last of Us because it wasn't available because I've only ever had like Nintendo systems. Mm-hmm. I don't have like an Xbox or whatever. So I never played it. But I was aware of it. So when I found out they were making a show and then they cast Pedro, I was like, I mean,
sold.
What else do I need?
Done.
What else do I need?
Don't need to worry about anything else.
No.
All right. Number eight. Would you rather watch a movie at home or watch a movie at the movie theater?
Oh, home.
Yeah.
I don't want to do people if I don't have to do people.
Totally fair. The only reason I like movie theaters is for the popcorn.
That's
it.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, it's for the popcorn. It's the best. It's so good. You can't make it at home like they make it at the movie theater.
We've tried so many times and there's just no way to replicate it in the slightest ever.
I just feel like movie theaters are so cold though too. They're like freezing and sometimes they have the good reclining seats, but then other times it's not. And
Nope. Number nine, coffee or tea?
Oh, I love both. I'm gonna have to go coffee only because I do drink coffee every single day, but I love chai. Oh my gosh, a good spicy chai with oat milk is like the best. Cause let me tell you, when you get into your 30s, dairy and you are no longer friends.
Nope. It's true. I realized that. I was like, oh no. And I like oat milk is my new big thing. And I never knew how good oat milk was. And
it's
I'm
so
like,
much better than almond milk though.
Right?
I don't like the almond milk. I like the oat milk much better than the almond milk.
Yeah, I'm glad that you agree because another household conversation that we disagreed on, but yeah. So last question for today is what's for dinner tonight?
Oh, what is for dinner tonight? That's a great question. I have chicken that is defrosting. So back to the chicken statement, I will probably make chicken. We did breakfast for dinner last night, which is a fan favorite in the household. Yes, that's a fan favorite. And the other thing that we make all the time, have you ever had a Monte Cristo?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
my son had one. We went to this, oh my gosh, what is it called? Snow City Cafe in Anchorage, Alaska. We went there for their brunch one time and my son, I got a Monte Cristo and my son like tried my Monte Cristo and then he like chucked his waffle at me and like grabbed the sandwich and just, so that is the fan favorite in the house right now.
That's
so
fantastic.
I don't know. I'll probably make chicken. I got pasta. I'm kind of one of those pantry people that I do meal plan, but not all the time. And then I kind of am like, what do we have in the pantry? All right, we got some noodles, we got some chicken, with some cheese.
It's a smorgasbord. It's just whatever you can find. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, just whip it together.
I just love it. That's That's motherhood in a nutshell right there. Just whip it together.
Yeah. And then my husband will be going TDY and it'll be cereal and pizza and dino chicken nuggets.
Yes. We are big cereal for dinner people and pizza. Big pizza. But thank you again, Erin, for joining me today. I had a blast and sharing more about your journey as a mill spouse, a mom, and your mental health. And it's been fantastic getting to know you more. And thank you for being on our show.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate talking to you. And hopefully we will chat again soon in the DMs.
Absolutely. Listeners, if you want to connect with Erin Mullenbeck, you can find her on Instagram at Erin Mullenbeck. Thank you for joining us again today. I'm Juliana, your executive director at Mission Mill Spouse, and always remember, we've got your six. Thank you for tuning in to the Mission Mill Spouse podcast. We hope you found inspiration and connection through the stories shared. Remember, your resilience as a military spouse is commendable, and you're not alone in this journey. We've got your six every step of the way. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes and feel free to reach out on social media to continue the conversation. Until next time, stay strong, stay connected, and keep supporting one another. This is Mission Mill Spouse signing off.